Audio 7.70.
Patru and Sweet Liberty. And now, here's your host, Jackie Patru.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for joining us tonight on Sweet Liberty. I hope you had a lovely weekend. We've been having unbelievably actual, real spring-like weather here in northern Pennsylvania, and it's just been awesome. Let me begin here with our spiritual message, and we'll get right to our topic. We have a guest with us this evening, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, from Matthew 5, in beginning with verse 14, in the red, Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That is beautiful. Our guest this evening, ladies and gentlemen, is Gray Deacon. And Gray, thank you so much for being with us. You are there, yes?
Yes, I am.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how many of you are aware of the Minuteman Project. I was in their website today, and actually, it was this evening. I was pulling up email, and I have been getting email about the activities of the people who are involved in the Minuteman Project, and I went over to their website, and it is awesome. And that's what tonight's spiritual message, let your light so shine before men that your good works glorify your Father. And this is what's happening with this Minuteman Project. People are not sitting around moaning and groaning and crying. They're doing something. Gray is from Arizona. He's there now. And he's going to tell us about the Minuteman Project. And maybe there are those of you who would like to get involved in this. Gray, where would we start here? How long has the Minuteman Project been underway, dear?
Well, we officially kicked off our activities here in Tombstone, Arizona on the 1st of April, and that was with the big opening ceremonies. And then on the 2nd and 3rd, we had a rally that was in support of the American Border Patrol and other federal officers who were charged with the responsibility of protecting our southern border.
And you had a rally in support of them.
Yes, we did.
Well, that is really cool, because their hands in many ways are tied, aren't they, Gray?
Of course they're tied, and they're tied by the, and that's the reason we're down here, is to bring to national attention, and more importantly to the attention of Congress and a president, that we need additional resources for the people in order to do their job. And we need money, which buys personnel and buys equipment.
And so what you're doing is you're supplementing the lack of manpower at the borders to keep illegal aliens out of this country.
That's correct.
Yes. Well, Now, is it just strictly in Arizona, or are you doing this in that whole area?
Right now, we have the Minuteman Project is only on a very small section of border. We actually are covering an area that effectively shuts off 60 miles of the border. And we brought in volunteers from all over the United States, all sex, race, religion, doesn't make any difference to creed or religion or anything else.
That's right.
We brought people in here, and they, for the most part, were people in our late 50s to middle 70s. And
wow.
We're the grandmas and grandpas of America, and we're coming out here one more time to put our boots on the ground for America.
Huh.
And we're trying to really make people understand how desperate the plight is right here in Arizona. There's 3,000 illegal aliens come across or smuggled across our border each night. Think of that. Every night of the year, 3,000 people are smuggled across this border, then taken from the border up to safe houses in Tucson and Phoenix, and from there shipped out, many of them going to Las Vegas, but also Salt Lake City and Denver, and then points east. In fact, there are people that have gone across this border and then been picked up in New York City 2 days after they crossed the border. That's how extensive the smuggling operation is.
Now, these people, the government calls them undocumented now.
Yes.
Instead of illegals.
That's correct.
Now,
these are not just Mexican nationals.
Right.
The president tries to color it and say these are only Mexican nationals coming here to make a living. But the according to the Border Patrol reports themselves, in any month, it could be averaged between 3 to 20% of the people coming through are people from other nations.
Yes.
And remember, people coming through from other nations are not returned to Mexico, nor are they returned to their home country. What happens is they're brought down to a federal court, and they're given a court date. It can be 30 to 90 days away, and then they're released back out on the street on their own recognizance.
Yeah.
And asked to please return. Now, many of these people are people from, you know, Arab countries, Islamic countries that mean us no good. And this is the way the terrorists have come in the past. And there's potential terrorists coming across that border every day.
Did you say these are from Arab countries? And
many of these people are from Arab countries,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
But, you know, Gray, from my reading and research and listening, right after 9/11, of course, they claimed that it was a group of Arab terrorists. And there are a lot of people of Arab descent, Lebanese, et cetera, that live in this country that do not mean harm to Americans. But what it appears to me that what they're trying to do, the government and its minions, I would say, is to create a fear and a hatred of anybody of Arab descent.
Well, let me back this up a little bit, okay?
Yeah.
Here's one of the deals. When a person sneaks across our borders using assumed names and assumed identities, and they enter this country, they are, first of all, committing an illegal act, both in their homeland and also in our country. It is illegal to leave one country and enter another without permission. So that's a criminal activity.
Right, sure.
I am not disparaging anybody who has entered this country legally and who continues to live here legally,
right,
and who has particularly an interest in becoming a citizen of the United States, adopting our customs, our morals, and our way of life, including language.
Right, thank you. Yes. Yes. You mentioned just before we went on the air that you had caught a coyote this evening.
Yes, we have.
Do you want to tell our listeners about that and what is a coyote?
A coyote is a human smuggler. They're the people that charge a greater deal of money to individuals out of Mexico or other nationalities that are being smuggled in from Mexico. And they are paid to smuggle a person across the border, then arrange for transportation and move them to a safe house, and they're human smugglers. And we caught one of them today. The way we did it is we saw what they call a setup vehicle, And basically, it's an empty vehicle left with keys, and alongside one of the rural roads. We watched that vehicle until a group of men came out of the woods, or out of the bushes, jumped in the vehicle, and when one of our people started to drive after them, they attempted to run us off the road, and we called it into the sheriff's department. Sheriff's department then subsequently caught them and arrested them and put them in jail. And there's one less coyote doing business right
now. Yeah, but how long do you think that this person will stay in jail?
Well, right now he's in jail for assault with a vehicle.
Okay. But you'll keep an eye on that, won't you?
Oh, we will keep an eye on it. We hope he's not released on his own recognizance.
Yeah.
And gets to go back to Mexico.
Or gets to assimilate into the multinational mix.
Right. But most of these people, this is their business. And the coyotes, they are in a business. This is a multi-billion dollar industry. In fact, President Fox defended his right to have that kind of commerce, both the smuggling of humans, smuggling of illicit drugs, smuggling of sex slaves, and the smuggling of weapons and other contraband. He believes is a rightful commercial occupation of his country and his countrymen.
I've read that they're actually issuing false identification for these people.
Yes, that's
not
true.
I don't mean necessarily the ones that are involved in the smuggling, but the people who are coming over.
Right, they're issued Social Security cards that you can not detect from the difference from the one you carry.
And are they making passports for them, too?
I've heard that, and I've actually seen airlines tickets. I've seen all kinds of falsified documents, and the ones that they don't use, they simply discard on this side of the border. On this side of the border, you'll see huge trash heaps that sometimes will cover nearly an acre and just be trash. It looks like somebody exploded a Salvation Army store, only with more backpacks in it. And there's food containers, backpacks, all items of clothing, water bottles, and all these have Mexican labels on them. There's no doubt where they came from.
Yeah. I was reading some of the information, and one was an account of a woman. She called herself a Minute Woman. And they went to a specific ranch where these people had lived for ages, I guess their family, and it was right on the Mexican border, and she was giving some details about their activities and et cetera. I thought it was just pretty cool what she said that they were doing. You know, they were keeping a watchful eye, and that there are, the communications, the walkie-talkies and things. But meantime, they play Frisbee and make a lot of noise.
Mm-hmm.
Because that seems to keep the illegals from trying to come in that way, knowing that these people are there.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct. And you need to understand also that when our people are out on site now, the school buses drive by and the kids open the window and hang out the window and yell, thank you, I feel safe now. We have ranchers come up to our outpost, and they have their children and the rest of their family with them, and they come up and they are so grateful because for the first time in years they've been able to get a full night's sleep without being woken up by dogs barking
and shots going off
and helicopters flying by and high speed chases taking place. You know, and these people are living in a war zone. These are American citizens that are living in a war zone.
Yeah.
And our president says that they have to continue to live that way because Mexico has a right to run their people out of Mexico into America.
Yeah. And it wasn't too long ago, a few years ago, that the U.S. Congress recognized and legalized they claimed 7 million undocumented. We call them illegals.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I noticed is that Ron Paul, who is really touted as one of the, quote, heroes in the U.S. Congress, he voted to legalize these aliens. That tells me something about Ron Paul. And I'm saying this for the sake of our listeners, because I know that Ron Paul does a lot of look-good things, and it makes people think that, okay, he's a good guy then. And one of the things that I've discovered is that any congressman, any U.S. congressman or senator who has actually tried to do something right has either been run out of office or, like Congressman Jim Traficant, put into prison, etc. And one of the things I realized is a lot of the, quote, look good bills that he introduces, they do make him look good, but they're never going anywhere, and people just don't seem to understand that. And they look up to Ron Paul like he's some kind of a hero.
Okay, well, remember, I'm from the Pacific Northwest, so I don't know your individual congressional delegation.
Well, Ron Paul is from Texas.
Okay.
And he's just a big hero.
Right. Well, Mr. DeLay apparently is a hero in Texas.
Tom DeLay?
Yeah.
I thought Tom DeLay was from Florida.
No, I think he's from Texas.
Oh, okay.
But the thing I want to remind you is if everybody out there, you've got to keep a very close eye on your local town politicians, whether you call them, no matter what you call them, councilman or, you know, doesn't matter. Whoever your local politicians are, because many cities right now are being pressured to pass legislation that prohibits your local cop from asking anybody who may be an illegal for any identification.
Oh, no, you're kidding.
No, and there's many cities right now today that already have such laws on the books. Ask your town policeman right now. Stop him and say, hey, if you know where there is an illegal alien, what are you supposed to do? Or if you suspect somebody is an illegal alien, they say, well, we're not allowed to, or, well, you know, that's the business of the INS. That's not our business. Then your town has already been polluted by that kind of legislation.
Do you have any, could you give us any examples of some that have already passed it?
Los Angeles, San Francisco, Chicago, Atlanta, Washington, D.C., New York City. I think that's enough for me to... I think Miami...
Wow, all the big ones.
All the big cities and many, many small ones now have been pressured into the same thing. So ask your local policeman, you know, what happens if we know they're an illegal? Can you ask them to prove who they are? Can you ask them for the same kind of identification you ask for me? And if they say, no, I can't, then you know your town has already become a sanctuary city.
Your numbers, how many up there are you?
Well, right now, you know, we had about 1,000 people here two weekends ago.
Uh-huh.
On the second and third, we had people down at the NACO station and the Douglas station, and we were actually rallying in support of the Border Patrol.
Yeah, do they know that?
Oh, yes, they knew that. The Border Patrol really appreciated the people that weren't, you know, the high officials. The high officials, of course, didn't appreciate it.
Of course not.
Now, since then, we've been running operations now starting the 4th, so we've had 1 week out there, and we've had 635 people who have served a minimum of 1 4-hour training period and 1 8-hour shift on the border. Now, many people have been out there the entire 7 days, and they will continue to be here through the 30th. Now, these are true American heroes, men and women who are willing to go out there and sit through the desert sun and heat and wind and right into the evening and then throughout the night. And, you know, our temperatures go from the high 70s down to 31 degrees last night.
Wow.
And the winds go up around 60 miles an hour.
Well,
these are true heroes that are out there.
Oh, they are to me. Yes, they are to me. That was what, of course, I was just in the midst of reading some of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, my God, I have to get in touch with one of these people. And, folks, I want you to know that Gray was gracious enough to come on with us with 1 hour notice, because it was 8 p.m. Eastern time when I got a hold of him. One of the things I was reading, first of all, that going back to the ranch where the ranchers actually asked if you would put some people there, and there were some horror stories. that the people told that they were experiencing because they're right at the border, and that when the people left, when the Minutemen left, that the rancher actually had tears in his eyes with gratitude, thanking them because they actually got a decent night's sleep. And one of the incidents, the woman told, the wife told, I guess she was there with the children alone, and an illegal came over across the border right through their property and was banging at their door, just scaring the hell out of these people. And also I read that where the Minutemen are stationed, that there's been a lot more activity, the INS patrolling and the helicopters. We've got a call coming in.
Okay.
We'll take it, okay?
Fine.
Hello, whoops. Oh, they quit. I'm sorry. Here we go. Hello?
Yeah, hello?
Hello.
Yes, hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, who is it?
Okay. Hello, Storm. I'm calling from New York.
Hello, Storm.
Hi, how you doing, guys?
Very fine, honey.
How you been? Okay. All right, now I want to talk about something on your topic or your guest tonight, what you're talking about with this immigration stuff.
Where are you in New York, Storm?
Oh, that's okay. No problem. I'll get there. Don't worry about it.
Well,
we're looking at things now. I see a lot of interesting things in Pennsylvania, too.
No, I said, where are you in New York?
Oh, where am I in New York? Oh, I thought you said, okay. I'm in in Queens, Nassau area.
Okay.
Okay. Now, you're coming in clear. On the subject you're talking about with this border stuff, one of the things that really disturbs me with the people, see, what he's got to understand, too, is the people in government are really behind this.
He understands this.
Yeah, right, I know. And what really sickens me is that there's this thing, this push to allow, like, this country is just obligated, has some type of, to me, it's stupid and empty, but this is what they say, some type of divine order to just allow any and every racial group and nationality of any third world cesspool come flooding into this country and think that the American people should just shut up and not have any say so about it at all just because they're coming to work here. And it's not
okay.
The people that want them to come to work
here.
Okay, honey. People in power that want them.
Storm, the reason that I asked Gray to come on tonight
is
exactly what you're talking about. So I don't believe our listeners need an education or a lesson here, honey. Do you have something you want to share?
Yeah, what I want to ask him is that one thing that disturbed me with one of the people that's connected to your group said is that if, maybe it was the media just misquoting, but they said that if one of the militiamen or Minutemen had to fire their gun, that and use it, you know, because some of these people have guns themselves and machine guns from the Mexican military, even, that he would be the first one to be on the side, not necessarily this gentleman who's your guest tonight, but one of them said, one of the leaders said, he would be the first one to be on the side of the prosecution. That would be the last thing I would do.
I'm not following you.
Right. There was, okay, on the ABC New York.
Okay, I can answer that question
was,
if you'd
okay.
like to.
There was someone who said,
okay,
from the Minutemen.
All right, go ahead, complete it.
Okay, said that if one of the men were to use their gun and fire upon them, especially when, even when there's deadly force or being threatened, that they would be the first one to take the side of the prosecution.
Okay, well, listen.
I think that's
okay, Gray said that he can respond to that. Gray?
Okay, yes.
He's going to have to hang up because he can't hear you. You can hear him.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, Storm, you're going to have to hang up and hear his response.
Okay, all right, yeah. But I think it's insane allowing all these different racial groups. We're going to become nothing but a third world piece of SHIT.
It's disgusting. We agree.
Goodbye.
Okay.
Okay, let's answer the first part of the question first. You know, what we're here about is closing this border.
Yeah.
We're not here about any kind of race, religion, creed. We're not into that. What we're here for is to close the border and provide adequate manpower and equipment to do that. Okay? Now, the second part is about our policy on weapons. People are allowed to wear exposed handguns
Otherwise, it's called an open carry in the state of Arizona. And in this state, people all have the right to do that. Some people who are part of the Minutemen have chosen to open carry for several different reasons. One of the reasons is, please remember, this is still pretty much a wilderness. There's still mountain lions.
Oh, yeah.
Jaguars, coyotes, many rabbits, and we have rabies is very, very common on the desert. So there's some very practical reasons, not to mention rattlesnakes and things like that. But it is a policy of the Minutemen because we need to be absolutely, totally politically correct in everything we do. That if a person removes their weapon from the holster for no matter what reason it is, then that person is immediately temporarily removed, the same as a police officer is temporarily removed from duty during a shooting. The Minuteman will be removed, and that case will be forwarded to the nearest police official for adjudication. Otherwise, they will do the investigation to find out if it was justified removal of the weapon, what led up to it, and what was the subsequent acts. We are not going to defend anybody withdrawing a weapon from their holster.
There you go.
It will be done by the appropriate law enforcement people. We have to do that so that our people understand absolutely that we demand the same kind of discipline that is demanded of police officers and of soldiers during times of war. So that's the reason we do this, and we also do it to protect our own people and to protect the people that may be out there that have nothing to do with being illegal. They could just be a rancher walking around on the road.
Yeah.
So this is the reason for our very strict policies.
All right, that's great. We have another caller here. Thank you. That makes all the sense in the world. And maybe it was twisted a little by the controlled media to make it confusing to people.
Well, I hope I was able to clarify.
That makes all the sense in the world. You're on the air, caller.
Well, thank you very much.
Who's calling?
This is Charles. I'm from North Carolina.
Hello, Charles.
I want you to know just how much I appreciate all the efforts of the gentleman and the group that he represents.
Oh, yes.
I'm fully behind him. It is amazing how many people assisted Mr. Rudolph in his flight from, you know, and how
yeah.
many people are hating the oppression of this country, but also the neglect of our security of our borders. It is just amazing how they're majoring in these minors. And
it's all part of the plan, Charles.
Of course it is.
You know that.
And it just frustrates the living not out of me to have to deal with this crap and hear all this all the time.
Yes.
They got people calling you guys vigilantes. They don't know the name of the word. They don't even know what it means. So y'all keep up the good work. We're praying for your safety and for wisdom for you guys. And we appreciate everything you're
yes,
doing.
Yes, and maybe there may be listeners tonight that would like to become part of this, and I hope that happens out of this broadcast tonight, Charles.
Well,
That's walking the walk, isn't it?
That's right. Well, the Bible says he's judging us from the intent of our heart.
Yeah.
And that also means we got to walk the walk and we're going to talk the talk.
That's right. Let your works glorify God.
It ain't what saves you, but it is an evidence that you really mean business.
That's right. Thanks, Charles.
God bless.
Bye-bye. You too, honey. Well, just a thank you.
Thank you, Charles.
Yeah, thank you. We have to take a 60-second break here. And in case you didn't notice, we don't have a bunch of commercials on this broadcast, Gray. it's because our listeners support the broadcast.
Okay.
And so we're going to have a commercial right now. Ladies and gentlemen, you stay with us. We will be back in 60 seconds with Gray Deacon from the Minuteman Project. This is exciting. It's wonderful. We'll be right back.
Years ahead of the dominant media, find out first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com, on satellite, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
Roll away the dove.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, P.A. 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, P.A. 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
All right, we're back with you folks. In case you didn't take the address down, I'm going to give it to you once again. And perhaps those of you who listen to this broadcast and appreciate the information that you get, if you're not, you might like to become part of it, like so many people are becoming part of the Minuteman Project. My address is Jackie Patru, P-A-T-R-U, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, and that is M-I-L-L-E-R-T-O-N, Pennsylvania, 16936. If you would like to call in tonight, the number is 570-537-3025. And remember, our guests can hear you. You cannot hear them. We're jury-rigged here because we don't have a piece of equipment that takes your phone call live. So if you call in and you have a question, then you'll have to hang up so that Gray can answer your question. 570-537-3025. Gray?
Yes?
Just before we went on the break, or maybe we got that phone call, I remembered reading that wherever the Minutemen are posted, there seems to be more activity by the INS. And well, what I read on the website, unless I misread it, is they felt that it wasn't necessarily to give support to what the Minutemen are doing, but to show their show of power to the Minutemen. Do you want to comment on that?
Well, basically, it's not to show the show of force for the Minutemen, because we know that most of the people that are out there on the line right now for the Border Patrol have been brought in from California, other parts of Arizona, and New Mexico. So they've withdrawn about 500... well-trained officers from California, other parts of Arizona, and New Mexico to make a public showing right here for the mainline press. And they're making quite a show. There's about 750 officers roaring around, and you can, it's kind of like counting fleas on a dog's back out there, the number of Border Patrol that are scooting around for the media, and they make quite a show.
And why are they doing it?
Well, in order to show the mainline press that they don't need men down here, they got plenty of people on the border.
Yeah, right.
But you know, they're just brought in temporarily, and all the places they were brought in from right now are wanting for law enforcement people to be there, because all the people that used to be on those empty sections of the border are now up here. So it's a very dangerous game that the federal government is playing.
Yes, it is.
And it's putting people in Texas, New Mexico, other parts of Arizona, and California in danger.
Well, you know, there's Border Region 21. Are you familiar with that, Gray?
No, I'm not sure. I think that's down in Texas somewhere.
Oh, no, it's along the whole border.
Oh, okay.
It's all of those borders that border Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And there's 20 miles on both sides of the border that they call Border Region 21.
Okay.
And it's sort of part of, it's like this is free. Anybody who comes here, that's why they're coming across the border so easily because they're being, of course, allowed to. If you're not aware of it, I'm sure if you did a search for Border Region 21, you would find out about it. So you're looking at, I don't know how long that border is there, 100 and some miles? Or,
well, we're covering a 60-mile section.
You guys are covering 60, but I'm talking with all of the states involved.
Oh, it's about 2,300 miles.
Is it what?
Yeah.
The border?
Yeah. It goes from California to Texas, through Texas.
Oh, wow. So would you like to give a contact number for people who would like to get in touch with you that might like to become involved, Gray?
Well, first of all, if you want to become involved with the Minuteman Project, please go up on our website, which is MinutemanProject.com. And that's all one word, MinutemanProject.com. And if you then go in to the section that has to do with standard operating procedure, and read through that very, very carefully, because it is a well-prepared document that lays out exactly what we expect of the people that come here. And it takes an awful lot of courage to be able to comply with what is in that document, because without, we cannot approach any illegal alien that we may see. We don't have any verbal contact with them. And all we do is observe and report to the appropriate authorities, in this case, the Border Patrol, exactly where we see people, and we try to call them in and let them see where the illegal alien is so that they can apprehend them. We do not in any way try to follow or approach the people that are illegally crossing.
Uh-huh.
It takes a lot of courage to do this. And remember, we got Pope people out there in the dead of the night and the heat of the day, and they're doing the job, and they're doing it very, very well. And that website also contains a link over to a PayPal site that's under our home organization, which is Civil Homeland Defense, and that PayPal site is within that that site. Additionally,
is that .com?
That's .us, I'm sorry.
.us.
Right.
Civil Homeland
Defense.
.us. .us.
And quite frankly, the main website, which is MinutemanProject.com, has all, you were on there today, and it's got all kinds of stories. It's got pictures, and in fact, we just added streaming video to it yesterday. And so it's very, very informative. Gives you an opportunity to decide if you want to come down here and take part in this. And, you know, I encourage anybody that has 3 or 4 days to come down and do it. If you can stay a week, 2 weeks, that's even better.
Whatever they want to
But what
to
it takes
volunteer.
Is it takes us a day, basically, to get your credentials in order and to get you out and get you trained. And then we'd like you to have one full day then that you can come out and swing a time out on the line itself.
Now, you mentioned that something about being there till the end of the month or something.
Yeah, we're going to be active here through the 30th of April.
So, in other words, this isn't like a permanent thing you all are doing.
No, this is a temporary thing, and we've got other things that are in the planning.
What is your hope that is going to come of being there for 30 days?
Well, first of all, is to draw national attention and to get people just like the listeners right now to become aware and to be asking their elected officials at all levels, city, state, county, and national levels, the question, what are you doing to close the borders? What are you doing to assure that my community does not have illegal aliens living in it?
You know,
how do we help you understand that we think this is a extremely important issue?
You know what state legislators say about this? At least the few that I've talked to about it in the past.
I have no idea.
Well, immigration is a federal. We have nothing to do with or nothing to say about immigration. Because, you know, in Article 1, Section 8, It is the U.S. Congress that has the power. And what I've tried to tell these...
Ma'am, in Article 4, Section 4, it guarantees, the U.S. Constitution guarantees, every state in this union shall be protected against invasion.
Thank you.
And if the federal government can't do it, then
the state
has both the authority and the responsibility.
Exactly.
And that's basically what you need to tell your local congressional district.
Yes.
You got to stand up and be counted.
It's exactly what I've told these state legislators.
That's the reason that we have Minutemen right now, because right back there in Massachusetts is one of the places that Minutemen got started. It is when the government was unable to raise an army, the army raised itself. Well, right down here, we're standing up and we're saying, hey, people of the United States, we got a major problem here.
Yep.
We expect you to stand beside us.
I would think. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, hello. What I was going to say, too, is that I think the Founding Fathers, when they made the Constitution, they left some loopholes, like what the guy is even just saying here. One of the things they should have had, and I think there should be amendments to the Constitution,
if
the Republic were to fall. And let's say there has to be a militia war to restore constitutional
government.
Yeah,
well,
that's
fine, Storm, but what we're talking about is what should be or could be, and it isn't. And what we need to deal with is what is today.
Thanks for your call, honey.
What we think they should do, ladies and gentlemen, is common sense. And as Gray said... in Article, say it again, Gray.
That is in Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S.
Yep.
Constitution. Every state in this union shall be protected against invasion.
Yeah.
And right now, every state in this union is in fact being invaded by the country Mexico.
Or anybody who goes into Mexico who wants to come
across the border. Illegal,
What about Asians?
There are a lot of Asians that come through this area.
I was thinking that.
There are, you name the country, they come across. We had two Syrians come across with false IDs, multiple false passports and other identification kits just 2 weeks ago. They were caught, and luckily, I think they're still being retained. But the feds may have let them go on their own recognizance.
Well, yeah, that's part of the plan, too. You know, it makes it look like they're doing something.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's what we're trying to do is to bring to the attention of everybody in the United States that our southern borders are totally unprotected.
Yep.
And that right now the president and many members of Congress do not want to protect these borders. And we're being invaded every night. In just this little section, 3,000 people come into this country.
In one 60-mile stretch.
Jeez. Of a 2,300-mile border.
Yeah.
Now, you multiply out there, and, you know, folks, if this isn't... Remember, when Hitler entered Poland, and it was called a blitzkrieg, he only brought in 2,700 people. On the Blitzkrieg, okay? So
that's a whole other story.
So
our listeners are aware of, most of our listeners, or many of them, are aware of that.
But I'm giving you a point of comparison.
Yeah, well, we've been lied to,
okay.
Great. Let me just put it that way. But
so what I would like people to do is think about what their priorities are. Think about what they want their communities to look like when their grandchildren are our age. And think about what their responsibilities are, personal responsibilities, and then start confronting your local elected officials at all levels.
Yeah.
And make them respond to you, because without your vote, they have absolutely no power. And if it's time, and I'm going to say this real cold and real calculated, folks, if it is time for us to begin a new third party in this country, because the parties we thought we were members of have stood up and walked away from us, then we should consider forming that third party now.
Are you aware of vote fraud, Gray?
Yes, I am.
Computer voting.
Sure.
Well, then, what makes us think that forming a new party is going to make a difference?
if we don't get their attention, nothing's going to make a
well,
difference.
Well, you know what? I don't know.
If I accepted the fact that the federal government is going to ignore me if I stand up and do something, then I would never driven 2,100 miles down here to do what I'm doing right now.
Well, I've accepted that the federal government is going to ignore me because I've been there, done that.
Well, we've got...
About 10 years ago, Gray.
Right.
But I still do this broadcast.
Okay. What I'm asking everybody to do is realize that if we give in to hopelessness...
Yeah.
Because of what looks like overwhelming odds, then we've lost this entire country.
Well, I'm not saying that either.
So what I am asking everybody to do is look what the Minutemen are doing down here. And the Minutemen are grandmas and grandpas, and we believe in what we're doing. You know, and we're asking the rest of the population to please carefully consider the changes you've seen in your community over the last 15 years and decide if you want those changes to continue.
What's wrong with keeping the Minuteman Project not only alive but growing?
We would keep it alive and growing if we have the people coming in, the funds to make it work, and enough interest. We'll take it nationwide if we need to.
Okay, good. Because
so all we need is people. We need people to let us know that they're here to support us, and they can let us know they're here to support us also by talking directly to their own, you know, around their own hometown.
Yes.
Talk to your dad and mom, your grandmas and grandpas, your kids. Let people know what's going on down here and how important it is for the future of the United States.
Yes. We have our shortwave listeners, and that is the backbone of this broadcast.
Okay.
Thousands of people listen to shortwave, and maybe 100 or less are actually listening on the Internet. And many of our shortwave listeners don't have computers. And I wonder if you would want to give your phone number in case somebody would like to contact you.
Yes, you can reach us at 520.
Just a minute. I want to write that down. My pen. Oh, there it is. Okay.
520-457-3008.
See, what you all are doing is you're bypassing the system. And to try to... Gray, I got involved in this in late 91, and I've been going steady at it for that many years now. In fact, it's actually become my life. I owned a business. I let my business go to hell, sold it for a pittance, because I realized that we, all of us, had been asleep at the switch, and if everybody was like me, we were going to lose it all. And I did literally say a prayer and ask, you know, Father, please, if there's something that I'm supposed to be doing that I could do, that you would have me do, please see to it that I do it. And my life, it just kind of, you know, turned up topsy-turvy. But the thing is that what I have learned is that the system, by trying to play in the system, and I'm not trying to sound like a downer here, because I haven't lost hope, or if I had, I would not continue this broadcast. I can guarantee you that.
Okay.
However, with a vote fraud, with the computers today that they're voting with, talking about going in and starting another party, they become infiltrated. You all, what you're doing is bypassing the system. And this is, to me, the most beautiful thing that a group of people have done in 10, 12 years that I've been involved. Because, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't contact our local officials, see? Because this is my experience, that there are some decent people there still,
mm-hmm.
that haven't succumbed, you know, to the whatever it is that gets them into it, state, local, county, township, whatever, to alert them, to have them aware of what is going on and what their authority and what their power really is if they use it rightly. So I don't want you to think that because I see a third party as futile, and I think you will find if you do it that you will experience it. I've already experienced
it. No, I've been in politics all my life, and right now I feel that my party has turned and walked away from
it. Well, I've never been a political party, and maybe that's been
my
saving.
What I'm trying to do is, if anybody here wants to bring about some changes, come down and join us. Do the best you can. We do what's right in front of us today, and we carry the Lord's work in what we do.
Mm.
So you've got to realize that we believe absolutely that it is the responsible of every man and woman to step forward when you're called and to answer the question, are you ready? And if you can answer, yes, I'm ready, then step forward with us.
Yes, beautiful. We have
because that's what we're doing.
Yes.
Yes. My name is Thomas from Virginia.
Hi, Thomas.
Hey. I just wanted to commend him for what he's doing.
Absolutely.
I think that is wonderful. I mean, it should have been done a long time ago, probably. I guess I'm not the one to talk, but, you know, it's been going on for a long, long time. But I want to make the point that this is purposely orchestrated. Bush and company and Kerry, it didn't matter who would have.
Well, it's been a long
time. But it's part of this free trade area that America's is CAFTA, this NAFTA.
Yes.
Part of turning us into like the European Union, the whole Western Hemisphere.
Yes.
He needs to understand that they mean for us to have no sovereignty, no borders. They want us to be able to freely come and go. That's why we're going to have this national ID card.
Yes, and that's why Border Region 21 came into existence, Thomas.
The UN website. That opened up a whole world to me about 2 years ago when I started going into the UN website, reading into it. They put the stuff, just like the Club of Rome, and just like Trilateral, the CFR, they all have websites, and they're really bold, and, they put the stuff up there, but Americans are so compartmentalized and so dumbed down that they don't even read, and they don't even go and check any of the stuff out, but it's right there for you to read.
Thomas.
You know.
Have you been on the Sweet Liberty website?
Hey, I've been on you. I've known about you for a while. I'm one I call it John Arthur Show and other shows.
Okay.
I get Liberty University, Falwell's University.
Oh my.
But I've broken out of the Matrix. I did it.
Okay.
When we invaded Iraq, that was the final stop for me, and I just knew something was terribly wrong. And
yes.
Then I investigated 9/11 and came to the realization that
yes.
Something's horribly wrong with the official story that the government's just thrown at us.
Which is it, the blue pill or the red pill, that once you take it, you can't go back?
I think, isn't that the red pill?
I don't know, honey, but once you take it, you can't go back, can you, Tom?
No, I realize Falwell is just, I don't think he's a bad person, but
he's a very bad person.
Rubs elbows with the wrong people. When he had Ollie North, cocaine trafficking Ollie North.
Right.
Do the Sunday morning service at his church a few years back.
Right.
That dawned on me,
Thomas, God bless
you. What was going on, you start, read about, because Bush Senior and Clinton are inseparable right now.
Well, it just doesn't
matter. They do a lot of pictures together lately and stuff.
They're all puppets, Thomas.
Yeah, I know.
Thomas.
Yeah, they're all cocaine trafficking buddies,
Arkansas. Thomas.
Yes, ma'am.
Let me tell you this. It is because of you and people like you that I even continue this broadcast. And that is the truth. And thank you for your call tonight, honey.
Yes. You have a good evening,
you
Jackie.
Too.
You keep up what you're doing.
Thank
we
you.
All, we need is everybody we can get to fight this new world
thank
order
you.
That they so badly want to install.
Bless you, honey.
All right. You have a good evening.
Good night. Yes. Gray?
Yes.
What you all are doing... I just hope and pray that it continues and grows. You're on the air.
Yes. Good evening, Jackie.
Hi.
Does that man have an address where he can send a donation or something to help him out down there?
Oh. Well, we'll get that address. You hang up and we'll have him give it, honey.
Okay.
Thank you. Did you hear that?
Yes.
Greg?
That would be to CHD P.O. Box 1579. Tombstone, Arizona, that's AZ, 85638.
All right, I'm going to Let me repeat it to make sure I took it down right.
Okay.
Because I probably will have people calling me asking me for this. It's CHD. What does CHD mean?
Civil Homeland Defense.
Oh, there you go. CHD, P.O. Box 1579, 1579, Tombstone, Arizona. That's A-R-I-Z, 8-5-6-3-5-8 or 5?
3-8.
Okay, 8-5-6-3-8, folks.
Correct.
Okay. AZ is a federal, what do you call it, abbreviation that they
right.
gave the states.
Right.
We use the state abbreviation.
Okay, that's fine.
Just as a statement, Greg.
Okay.
Let me
fine.
Say it again, folks. If you want to send donations to help, because maybe you're not able to go there and become part of it, CHD, P.O. Box 1579-1579, Tombstone, Arizona, that's A-R-I-Z, 85638. And if you want to get a hold of Gray, if you would like to be, not just to call and tell him what you think, but if you want to become part of this, 520-457-3008. Whose idea was this, Gray?
Well, actually, Chris Simcox is the one that thought up CHD. And then later he met with Mr. Jim Gilchrist, who's from California, and the two of them came up with the project, which is the Minutemen Project. I want to reinforce something else, Jack, if I could.
Sure, please.
If you're going to call, call only if you're interested in joining.
Yeah.
Because I've only got two telephone lines.
Yes.
And we're trying to run this whole project out of a very, very old office.
Yes.
So I've only got two phone lines, and there's three of us here trying to run this thing.
Yeah.
And we need all the open lines that we can get
our
in order to deal with the people
yes.
who really want to come and
our
work.
Listeners are very, most, I believe, our listeners are very conscientious.
Good, thank you.
And if you happen to get somebody who isn't, don't give them the time of day. Great. Thank you. God bless you, honey.
Thank you very much.
And maybe,
maybe
you'll come back with us.
Sure, if you give me a call, I'll try.
Sure, thank you very much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Jackie.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back with you tomorrow night. This is wonderful. It is. I think it is wonderful. But until the end of April, it may as well not have happened. Because, well, I'll see you tomorrow night. I know you can't hear me over the music. Good night. God bless you both.
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, P.A. 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, P.A. 16936. Be sure to visit the SweetLiberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
Dad, can you drop me off here?
Oh, I can drive you all the way to school.
I don't want my friends to see me with my...